Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, my girl is banging, she's solo maining. Don't need no champagne, popping entertainment. Take her to Wendy, can't keep her off me. She wanna dip me like them fries in a frosty. But every now and then when I get paid, I gotta fool my baby with an upgrade. Hey, 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 hey. Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that bourbon street steak with the Oreo shake. Get some whipped cream on the top too. Two straws, one shot, girl, I got you. Bougie like Natty in the styrofoam. Sweet and squeaking in the truck bed all the way home. Alabama jammer, she my Dixieland delight. That's how we do, how we do. Fancy like, ooh. Fancy like, ooh. To impress her. My girl is happy, rolling on a vessel. Don't need no mansion to get romantic. She's super fine, double wide, slow dancing. But every now and then when I get paid, I gotta fool my baby with an upgrade. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that bourbon street steak with the Oreo shake. Get some whipped cream on the top too. Two straws, one shot, girl, I got you. Bougie like Natty in the styrofoam. So you squeaking in the truck bed all the way home. Alabama jammer, she my Dixieland delight. That's how we do, how we do. Fancy like my new clean blue jeans without the holes in them. Country kisses on my lips without scalding them. Yeah, she probably gonna be keeping some Victoria's Secret. Maybe a little Maybelline, but she don't need it. In the kitchen light, radio slows down. Box wine and her updo goes down. Ay, yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that bourbon street steak with the Oreo shake. Get some whipped cream on the top too. Two straws, one shot, girl, I got you. Bougie like Natty in the styrofoam. Sweet, squeaking in the truck bed all the way home. From Alabama jammer, she my Dixieland delight. That's how we do, how we do. Fancy like.
Fancy like. How about that? That
what
is,
hell was that?
That was Fancy Like. That was a song recorded by the American country music singer Walker Hayes. It was released on August 2nd, 2021, and is the American country music singer and songwriter. He has charted four singles on the Hot Country Songs and has released two albums. Hayes has recorded for both Capitol Records and Monument Records, with his breakthrough chart, You Broke Up With Me, in 2017. His biggest hit, Fancy Like, was a number one in July 2021 on the Billboard Hot Country Songs. This song is used in part on an Applebee's commercial. Now, we all know that I'm a rock and roll chick, but when I heard this, I got addicted to just a little, you know, Applebee's on a date night. I didn't know it was a real song. I just thought, wow, they did a great job with this jingle for their show. Nope, wasn't
no,
that.
You could tell.
I went to see what it was. And I thought, if I am going to be haunted by this song, I was going to share with all the people I love, my nearest and dearest friends, and make them haunted by that little ditty too. And in response to the popularity for that song, Applebee's brought back its Oreo cookie shake, which was mentioned in the song and had been discontinued in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. The chain used the song in commercials starting August 23rd, 2021. So it was in August that I tripped over this song, and I thought it was kind of cool. And like I said, you got to admit, it was hard to sit still while the song was playing it, you know. So anyway, I enjoyed it and had her. You are here with me, Deborah Lee, and we are at a Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio team chat group, poetry writing group that hangs out at allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site. one of the largest poetry sites on this planet. And if you are a member, if you are a member, come over and knock on the door. You can hang out with us. If you're not a member, you can join for free. And then just hit the group tab and look for A Team of Voices. And if you knock on the door, I'll meet you there, and you can come hang out with us too. If you're in earshot right now and you'd like to call in, the number is 1-646-668-2837. And tonight is open poetry. And I'm going to say this a couple times during the course of the show, but I have I have like 20-some poems on the board, so we are going to do our best to get them all in tonight. We'll keep the commenting down so that we can make a better attempt at it. However, tomorrow night at 11, Hatter and AP and myself do a show, and if need be, we could carry a few over. So if yours is one that gets carried over, I will absolutely message you and let you know it will be carried over. But let's get this show on the road. Hey, Hatter, I'm going to say hi to Dave Prophet right there. Beanbag chair waiting to get
in. Right here.
So, Dave, had you ever heard that song
ma'am.
Before?
No, I never have. It almost kind of had a bluesy hit to it, you know, and I thought it might be one of them old Delta blues guys, you know, but turns out it was country western man. So
you can tell a real artist by the way they do those little gitchy tunes, because they are they'll stick in your brain, and the more you hear it, the more you like it. I like it better now.
Yeah.
That's
pretty cool.
And in August, let me tell you, for the last couple months, they have been, they just switched to somebody. I don't even remember who, because this one stuck in my head. But for the summer, I suppose, you know, to bring back these milkshakes, they used the chorus from that. And I would realize that I'm sitting here late at night and I'm trying to write a poem, and something would come on TV and that commercial would come on, and I would realize I was sitting there in my seat hopping while I was trying to type. So I thought, okay, I got to find out what this is. And like I said, sometimes I'll just think of it, and then it's not playing. It's just it's in my head, and I'll hop in my seat then. I must look, you know, if somebody saw me sitting by myself, I would look around like, oh, man, I'd be embarrassed. But, yeah, so I was sharing the misery. I'll probably go out with that song again, too, just to torture everybody one more time. But it's really, really cool, and I'm making fun of it. But I actually really, really like the song. And again, I say, you just got a rock and roll chip to go look for it. So that's a really cool thing, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, now let me see here. I got like 8 videos or audios, I'm sorry, and a dozen poems besides that. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to jump right on in. And usually on a Monday, I'm trying to get Kay and Steven in and out so that they can go and get ready for a mortuary. But we're all messed up tonight because it's Friday night and not Monday. And I don't know. I hope you don't get tired of me because I'm here tonight. I'm out with the guys tomorrow, and then I do the steampunk show on Monday, so it's a whole lot of Deborah Lee for a few days. Now, on that note, Dave Prophet, you never get to go first. I'm grabbing your poem, and that's where I am headed right now.
Oh, thank you.
Because you usually hang with
me
all night long, so I don't rush, but that's where I'm headed anyhow. So there you go, my friend. So as soon as you see it, show us what you got.
Okay. All right, let's see here. Let me get back over here where I'm supposed to be. I'm on my tablet, so it's a little pokey.
No worries.
No voices? All right. Okay, let's see here. Okay. You guys probably know the lady calls herself In Walk Bud. Her name is Sandy.
You know
maybe
what?
You don't.
I'll
anyway.
Be honest. walked, but I thought it was a guy. So there you go.
Yeah. No, it's a lady. She calls herself In Walk Bud, and she's a dear friend of mine. She's really a dear friend, a real sweetheart. And I've written a couple of tribute poems to her, like I have to you, Deborah, and Hatter, and all my dear friends. And so this one was written to her, and it was written to the melody of Neil Young's Cinnamon Girl. And so when I read this, I got the phrasing on it pretty close. So I'm going to try and control myself not to sing song it. But anyway, there's
put a little in it.
Anyway, it's called The Cinnamon Girl. Always a picture with long flowing hair, soft brown tangles, kissed by the air, she's my cinnamon girl. She's a thief of hearts as she comes on the night. Her lips whisper to me such sinful delights from the cinnamon girl. She smells like the wind through the woods night air. Wrap my arms around her, she tells me she cares. She's my cinnamon girl. The daughter of souls now, the ghost in my mind. She floats beside me as my guitar unwinds with the cinnamon girl. If I told her I loved her, it might scare her away. My tongue's so confounded when I try to say, I love you, cinnamon girl. That's it. That's all I'm going to sing anyway. That's it.
That was awesome. That was like right on. That was absolutely. It was like it fit with the. It couldn't get much closer to matching the tempo and the feel and the tones, and you did great singing it. And I bet you she was blown away when she read that.
Yes,
nobody could sing Neil Young.
Well, you know
anyway.
The coolest part, no. David, is that when the show ends, you can turn around and send her a link for the show and tell her that the first poem read is that, and then she'll get to hear you sing it. Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, yeah, that'll be cool, yeah. I did tell her that I was going to read it on the air tonight, so I don't know if she's tuned in or not, but I will tell her for sure. So.
Cool, because, I mean, like I said, it was so spot on. It would be really sad if she didn't get to hear you sing it. It was really great, Dave. Tell them about it, Hattie.
Dave Young, Neil's brother.
Thank you. It was fun to write. I don't know. It was just kind of, when I wrote it, I was surprised that the meter was so close to the song, you know, and stuff. And
but you almost have to do that. You have to get it in your head, and you have to write it that way, and then you have to read it, because there's little nuances. They stick, you know, as well as I did. They stick in lyrics to extend words, to shorten them up, to quicken in any way they want. And they sort of cheat in lyrics. But so if somebody was to read it, they wouldn't have that tune in their head. It wouldn't sound, the cadence would probably be a little off. So it's good that you read.
Well, I think they call that phrasing, and they said that Frank Sinatra was one of the best phrasers that ever was. He could take a song and put lyrics to it and get the phrasing on it, and it sounded perfect, you know. And my dad was always
tone
pretty
wise,
good at
but
that,
you know,
too.
That's the era of Moon hit with the moon like a meat, like a pizza pie. What is it?
Amore?
I don't know.
Yeah,
when
no,
the
it,
moon
it,
hit
it's
pie
it's,
like a big piece of pie. Right,
like a big pizza pie. Yeah. God.
Oh, yeah,
some
yeah.
Lyrics are free.
That's Amore. Yeah.
Yeah,
when the moon hits your eye like a big piece of pie, it's Amore or something like that.
Dean Martin.
Yeah.
Good job, Dave. Hey, that's a brevity for
you
too, isn't it? That's a little brevity.
Yeah, it is. Can you believe it? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stanzas. That's a record for me.
Stage fright will do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what else, Deb? Yeah. Maybe she's busy.
But you got to admit, though, don't you feel much more powerful, that you have your pen is much more powerful now that you can give us a whole gripping story or take us places with so few words?
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow.
It's impressive. Something, Deb. I got that from writing to your prompt. You have improved my writing so much. You don't realize it, but, writing to those prompts and having a word limit stuck to it, and, it really has overhauled my writing style about 150%, and, I thank you for that, and I'm not the only one that thinks that way. There's a lot of people that I talk to that tell me the same thing about that, and, I was reading one of your poems tonight, and it was that one that was real similar to Mel Gibson's Apocalypto, the one about the Aztecs. And you did a brilliant job of describing that whole legend or whatever you want to call it, story, in the amount of words that you used. I thought you summed it up really well, and I was real impressed with the way you wrote it.
Wow, thanks. I love the fact that so many people have been influenced, and you can, like, do little fun things, and they don't even realize that, like with the colors. I've been brainwashing everybody for a year to put colors in their poems, and now that I make them random, when I don't put in a crayon word bank, I get messages like, can I have one? So I put them back in.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that they're like penetrating. They're and it's not boring, and that you guys see it, because I sure see it. I read, no matter where I read poems, there's colors in it now. The good, the bad, the ugly, topic wise, not poem wise.
Mm-hmm.
There's color,
Whether
it's red, bloody messes or pretty pink flowers. There's colors everywhere, and I absolutely love it, to be honest. And I appreciate you saying that, David, very much.
Well, I see a lot of that in a lot of folks' writings, like Wayne, for example. He comes on, he goes on LCN, and I'll look at some of his poetry, and it's changed, and it has those colors and a lot of the words out of the word bank, and he and I were talking the other day about it, I said, boy, I said, Deborah sure changed my writing style, and Wayne says, me too, and but I think the colors, I think, just between you and me and Hatter here, when you do a picture prompt, I think you should stuff some colors in every one of them, because that gives us a chance to use the colors. And I think the colors sort of augment the metaphors, and vice versa, and of course the word bank helps too. So, that's cool.
Ask me about word banks.
But you've done a couple now, don't you? You have to admit, Hatter, they send you in a direction that you might not have thought of before.
My first one, I put everyone in there in one sentence. I put everyone in there in like one sentence.
I'm being
a rhymer, and I struggle at it. I sometimes feel handcuffed when I do it, but it's a good lesson. It's a good thing to do, especially with the colors, because colors can seem forced. You learn how to smooth them in and put them in different places, because colors can be moods also, not always the color of the leaf or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing that I kind of learned from Wayne that I've been trying out is I've been using the same letter to start off, you know, to run through a whole line of words, you know, like I'll do one line with A's and the next line with B's and the next line with C's or something, you know, or a stanza that way. And boy, that sounds pretty crazy sometimes when you read it back, you know, but I just did one the other day called It's Written in the Skies about tornadoes and stuff. And I kind of did, I experimented with it. And I did about like two or three stanzas that way. And so I thought it was kind of fun. That's just something different to play with, you know.
Words, it's all a puzzle, man. It's all a puzzle.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a friend of mine the other day, just in talking here, and I don't really live up to that, but he says, well, I don't know, Dave. He says, you're the wordsmith here. And I had to laugh when he said that, but it made me feel kind of good because it made me feel like, you know, all of us people, you know, you and Deborah and all of the great folks in our groups here, we really do delve into words and a lot further than most people do, you know, the average person, you know.
Yeah, besides expanding our horizon of our vocabulary, just getting used to the use of the words.
Yeah,
you do something. You do something every day, you're gonna get better at it. You just are.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it helps you express yourself. You know, I write a lot of notes on Facebook. I probably write too much. It's just something that, you know, the people I went to high school like to hear because nobody else will do it except me. And so I get on there and I kind of write for our high school a little bit, you know, just about some of the crazy shit we did when we were kids, like dragging Broadway with our hot rods and that sort of thing, you know. But, you know, when you start focusing a storyline, it's a lot easier to do if you write a lot and if you're a poet especially because you have such a word bank or so much ammunition on hand that you can write something and make it sound good and it keeps the reader's interest, you know, much better than somebody just getting on there and you know, talking like the average American does, you know, without any, you know,
absolutely
flowery language, you know, Deb.
So how to, yours is there to read, but before you do, let me pick up the next line, the next two lines, because I think this one just might be Ms. Boston. Hey.
Hey, guys. Hi.
Good to
hear
Boston.
You.
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing
We're
well. How about you?
I didn't hear anything. I'm trying to hang in there, like everybody else.
Absolutely. And right behind you, from the land down under, AP.
Hello.
Did you change your name? I've lost track of everybody.
Yes, I did, Boz.
Well, how are you?
I am well. I changed my name, but I'm still here. I'm still around and doing stuff. You know, I'm still here.
Cool.
Okay, so now I have a couple questions for the two of you. What are your time constraints? Boston?
Yes.
What kind of time you have?
You're breaking up. Is it me or is it you?
I don't know. Am I breaking up for everybody?
Somebody in the line?
No, I
no.
can't.
Okay, maybe it's you, doll. How long do you have?
I have some time.
Okay, cool. And AP?
I've got to be quick because I've got to head to the chemist before they close, Deb.
Okay, well then that's where we're going right now. Can you put yours directly on the board for us?
We can. Now, are we open poetry? Yeah.
We are open poetry, and we are actually set on private, and I'll release it afterwards. That way we can do an interview. I mean, we're not doing anything that they would normally do for Pretty Sweet, but we're just, you know, a little bit of gritty.
Okay.
If you got something like that, is fine.
Yes. Okay, righto. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to go with the little one that I did this morning.
Cool.
And this is a preempt header because this I thought about a topic for our next show, and this is a prompt. Yeah, you ready?
Mm.
This is a free verse too. Called "Do You See Above?" And it goes a little bit like this. Crowds do not define me. I reign in their presence. Here in deepest ebon, with only starlight to observe the aurora, with marks and bloody welts scar my chest, and while a bow is at the ready, I pluck the strings of my cello instead. As if a primitive monkey just touching the distant wrath of a fierce concerto, while yellow and greens ripple, reflecting and curbing my eyes towards a bitter morn, in poem.
Yeah, the aurora australis.
Whoa.
The aurora australis.
When we first talked about me going down there, that's the first thing I asked you. You got southern lights, man?
We got southern lights. That's the aurora australis. Yeah, we're
do.
In the middle of an event of an aurora australis at the minute.
Yep, comes in on both poles, north and south.
Yep.
It's where the old magnetic field goes.
That's it?
I was going to say, for starters, aside from the fact that it's a rare free verse, the contrast between thinking that you were possibly about to talk about the image, but instead we've got these vivid whip marks and bloody welts that scar your chest and white, and while a bow is at the ready, I pluck the strings of my cello instead. Your double meaning stuff is screaming in a couple places, and it's just a brevity. So I think, and then I'm looking, I'll have to go and see what it is that Joe wrote that pulled this out of you, because it's pretty clever. But I keep getting pulled back to stuff like the ebon, the deepest ebon, and the whip marks, the bloody welts. The bloody welts are just such a vivid, dark, sad stanza there. So very, very different. And that picture is amazing.
Can I read Joe's piece, Deb, if I could?
Yes.
Is that allowed?
We do have her. Yes, we do have her permission on file. That would be awesome.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, this was her piece. This is "Me, Do You See?", which is linked to my poem. And it goes like this. I stand out from the crowd. My index finger draws back black clouds. Bending pinhole spine of rainbow flicking shooting stars into the broken heart of midnight. My rib cage that has seen better days across a barcoded background of spilt body paint. Old world monkeys merrily dance as I blindly play tilted heavenly harp with two left hands. Surface of my undercover breath spins, setting up shelter in winter's gaze. My simple eye in a mist that takes center stage in a faraway storm. Teardrops develop like ripped photographs of the faded ice spots with off-white buttercups. End poem.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Okay. I don't even, my rib cage has seen better days across a barcode background of split body paint. I get the same powerful images there as I get from your welts. Has Joe seen your tribute to this poem? Because I think she'll be blown away too. I'm like I said, I'm very impressed with both. But when you get a rhymer to show up and bring free verse, that's pretty awesome. And then to do one so powerful, it was a great brevity. Let me get you some comments before you got to Hatter, what did you think?
Hit to the Farm.
Reverse from AP.
Yeah, no. I liked it. Well done. I'm trying to do two things here at a time. And, okay, now, you wrote to Joe's?
I did.
Piece?
I did.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah, I like the way Joe's calmed her pen down a little bit so that we can follow her a little better. I do miss the abstract. The way she used to write.
I agree. But you're right. I find that I don't think I've ever written to a Joe poem before, but I have now, you know, so that just gives a sense of the accessibility of it.
So AP, what's the difference between the two, the Aurora Australis and the Aurora Borealis? Is there any?
Not much. One's north.
Yeah. Yeah, you think. I thought maybe one was green and one was pink.
No. Well, I did put a video link to the Aurora Australis from a couple of days ago in Hobart on the wall. So if you click into that article,
cool.
You can play a video, which is just brilliant, of the Aurora Australis in Hobart.
I'm going to get the three bucket list items off all at once.
Yeah, no, works for me.
Yep.
And let me get a comment from David.
Yeah, you know, this poem that you wrote here, AP, I really liked it. It almost, I don't know, to me, because I'm a musician, it really appeals to me. And the way you inserted those things in there about, and while a bow is at the ready, I pluck the strings of my cello instead. That is a musician's, he's taking license with how he wants to do it and how he thinks it should sound best. And that, to me, that's what that statement there says. Whip marks and bloody welts scar my chest. to me, I don't know any other way to interpret this, but to me, when I really play my guitar a lot, sometimes my fingers will almost be bloody on the ends of them from the strings and stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, and so that kind of, that stanza above that sort of hit me that in that direction. And then the other two, the rest of it kind of bounces back and forth, you know, and I really like the juxtaposition of all of this. It was really cool. While yellows and greens ripple reflecting and curving my eyes towards a bitter morn. Yeah, there is a little bit of sadness in this, but, you know, that's what makes musicians the way they are, is they're a little melancholy at times too. So,
yep.
Anyway, that's the way your poem hit me, my man, and I liked it.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
Awesome comment, David. And Austin's calling back because she had a bad line. So I have Hatter on the board. Hi, Boston. And
hi, I'm back.
My turn.
I appreciate you calling. I know you have somewhere to be. And be a, two things, please. I really need some collab lines from you if you get an opportunity later.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm fairly sure, since I have over 20 poems for tonight, that I'll be bringing a couple with me tomorrow, just saying.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, perfect. Okay.
Okay.
And I need some help too, Deb, just to redo that show, because I tried and I failed on the timing. So,
all right. I'll text you when I'm
interrupt.
Done and you can buzz me and I'll talk you through it.
Perfect. Yeah, thank
okay.
you. That'd be great.
All right.
Okay.
See
thanks, everybody.
You.
Okay. Cheers.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. And before you read Hatter, let me let Sky in. Hi, Sky. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Just
Hello.
So you know who's in the room, it's me and Hatter and David and Boston.
Hi, Sky. Oh, hello. How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Feeling
hey
a little
now,
bit missed, Bob.
For a while.
Right?
All
so,
these fine
so how are
yours
on the board?
Tonight.
Will you read for us?
Okay. Hey, Boston.
Yeah.
Would you read mine?
Oh, sure. Okay, hold on. Let me get to the page.
They shall
I can. I know, right? I took a verse and made it worse by Jay Hatter. That day it came there, came a rain that hid the tears that fell. Cloudy skies that watched me cry knew me oh too well. Stepping back to view the past, I found myself times two. Voices heard in the spoken word, I imagined it was you. Remember when the world was close and nothing was too far away? I took a verse and made it worse. It remains that way today. Search to find a lasting rhyme and tell me what you see. Those things that I don't talk about. Je voulais, je sais, et toi, ton ami. I don't know how to speak French.
Je voulais,
I think you did good, Boston.
Did I? I forgot that, Boston. I didn't mean to switch you. I forgot I had that.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah, right? But now, was that like a deja vu kind of feeling? It's been a long time since we got to hear Boston read for you. I remember when
no matter what was going on,
if you could get that person could get Boston to read your poem, you were a happy camper. So that was a double treat, right?
Sweet.
And he's easy to read, don't you find, Boston, because of his cadence? You can just jump in and
absolutely.
That was really
she read Pitta Patta Moo. She read Pitta Patta Moo on the air. God bless her.
I did.
Yeah, well, that's why she's a rock star. I got this big grin on my face from between getting to hear you read him and getting to hear you, period, and the smile
aww
in your voice,
thanks,
the smile in his voice, and the smile in everybody who comes into the room and finds out you're here. It's like, hoo-hoo, happy Friday, everyone.
Oh, you guys are
okay,
so
let me get Hatter some – well, you go ahead and comment since you read, dear heart.
You want me to comment?
Please do. Great poll.
Okay, well, I wasn't paying attention. I just read it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'll have to comment while you take a – try to digest it, and I'll come back to you.
Thank you.
David, will you come in, please?
Yeah, this is typical Hatter stuff here. And I, when I mean typical, I don't mean that in an everyday tone. I mean this gentleman writes magical poetry. It runs like a stemwound clock. It's easy to read. I mean, you know, I could flunk reading 101 and be able to read this and sound good at it, you know. And Boston did a stellar job of reading it and sounded good the way she did it. And I really like this poem. You know, that day it came, there came a rain that hid the tears that fell. Cloudy skies that watched me cry knew me oh too well. Jesus, I wish I could write mm-hmm. like that. You know, I mean, it just blows me away. Remember when the world was close and nothing was too far away? I took a verse and made it worse. It remains that way today. God, that's just, you know, I could work on that verse for probably an hour and not get it that refined, you know. And, you know, I everything that Hatter writes, I like. I can say that with no reservations, you know. And I've known this gentleman for a long time now, and well, I've known you for a long time too, Buzz. And you know, mm-hmm. we're kind of the old school of AP, I think, maybe, you know, I don't know, but I love it. I thought you did a great job, Hatter, as usual.
I think I did spend an hour on that line.
Awesome. And
well, it shows.
Boston, can you comment now?
Yeah, well, I think the opening stanza can stand, like you said, alone by itself. So And the idea that when we step back, a lot of us, we do step back in life, and 2020 is everything. And but you found myself times two voices. So it's like, I don't know, I think memories bring us back, and then the reality brings us there. And then it's almost like, mm-hmm. and then you envision the one person that you're missing. And it's like, it's almost like sometimes I think we go through life with there's somebody that is always that person, you know, no matter what. And I've gone through stuff in my life where I pass through, you know, relationships, whether they're through business or whatever. And lately I've been, you know, introspective, but thinking about people that I used to do a long time ago and just wondering where they're at, you know, and just wondering, you know,
yeah.
I Google to find out, but they're not a constant, but there is somebody who is a constant. So when I imagine it was you, I thought of that person, you know, so and then what does the last line mean? Does it mean I love you no matter what? I don't know. What does it mean? Je voulais.
I just wanted to be your friend.
Aww. I wanted more than that, but okay. But that's kind of sad. It kind of changes the whole thing to where it just sums it up a little differently there. So search to find the lasting rhyme to tell me what you see, those things that I don't talk about. I just want to be your friend. That's kind of sad. That's all I can say, I think. It's just sad. A lasting rhyme. It's like nothing's everlasting, but I don't know. Hattie, you always seem to do it well. So great.
Thank you, Bea.
Great piece.
Thank you, Boston.
Yeah.
Awesome comment. And Sky, if you could comment for Hatter, and then before you do that, I just want to shout out to Pretty Bird. She won't be able to call because she's not feeling really well tonight, so Sky's going to read for her. But Pretty Bird, we're sending you get well wishes on the airwaves. You are more important than reading the poem. We got it. We're thinking of you. Thanks for sending the poem. Scott, can you comment for Hatter, please?
Yeah, I love the conversation going back and forth about perspective. And I think that this is the type of poem that I guess some invest themselves in many different ways. You know, it makes me think of all the ways we hide ourselves and hide our grief. And within that hiding, there are always those things that remind us of the past or those ghosts or maybe even better times. So it really can go either way. And, you know, the idea bringing in, at the end, I just wanted to be your friend. I think it does change perspectives a bit because it seems to me very inward and how someone might be experiencing the world. And then you realize that, well, for me anyway, and then you kind of take that outwardly and perhaps within a relationship of another person, not many other people or an experience. So for me, it changed it as well, but my perspective was a little bit different in how I viewed the poem. But I think it's, you know, amazing when people can have different viewpoints of one piece. Really well done.
I didn't
Scott,
realize...
Scott, hold off 1 second for me, please. I'm going to let Frank in before you read that. Hello, Frank. Welcome to the
Hello.
Show.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Here.
All right.
Yes. And
Hello.
You're just in time
Hello
to hear
everyone.
Sky read. So sit back and enjoy that. Enjoy Sky.
This is Or So It Seems by Pretty Bird. I knew your name once. I knew you in moments that hung in electric air. Faceless words. Carried feeling in the known, unknowable truth. Bury my pain in your broken-hearted hero facade, blues bar yesterday's and self-fulfilling love songs. My truth cracks porcelain smiles that hold the world in broad-shouldered, half-okay believability. I will never be the her that needs to be coddled or play coy, but being held when I cry, I will always be that girl. Trouble comes when I don't cry at all. Maybe my mascara will run. Maybe I refuse to break into the weakness I fear. My strength carries the weight of the world, but I can't stand on my own two feet. For all my truth, the world is misperceived notion, filtered by the emotion with which we think through experience. You hate me because I see you. You hate yourself and shame that no one charges you with. But I love you in lifetimes unlived. I see you, and I will prove that this one time I can be patient. End quote.
Wow.
Great read. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow, pretty bird. Or so it seems. That, you know how many things that just that title fits? And then we get in, I knew your name once. I knew you in a moment that hung in electric air. I really love the opening. And then, you know, stuff like faceless words. Bury my brain in your broken-hearted hero facade. And because it's a hero facade, to me, you know, facade is that covering face, that fake face. So not maybe so much not a, yeah, maybe not so much a hero after all is what I got from that word facade. Where's that? I will never be her that needs to be coddled or play coy. Of being held when I cry, I will always be that girl. There's a lot of emotion and truth and like bearing of the soul there. My strength carries the weight of the world, but I can't stand on my own two feet. For all my truth, the world is misperceived notions filtered by the emotion with which we think and experience. You hate me because I see you. Wow. Do you know how many people that bit that came to mind as you read that line for her, you hate me because I see you. And that's those people who, they just can't get over on you. And because they can't get over on you, they start to hate you. And that's, so there were tons of emotions that she pulled me through all the way through this, right? Again, pretty bird, feel better. Take care of you. We'll see you when you're stronger. Sky, will you please comment? You read.
Well, you took all the lines, Deb. So we're fighting again.
Am I trying not?
Well, your head's going. I'm like, yep, she's going to take them all. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody thinks Deb and I have this war going, so I got to keep up the front. This is such a brilliant giving piece. Right from the beginning, just really imbibed with emotion, feeling. And to me, this wonderful, you know, faceless words carry being unknown, the unknowable truth, those things, all those things that we kind of mask to the world and try to put on our best selves. And try to sing those notes that perhaps aren't so drenched in sorrow. We try to be, try to smile, like she says here, truth cracks, porcelain smile. But eventually, you know, that starts to leak in. I really love these two lines where she speaks of, I'll never be that girl. Because I think that there's many people, and I know one in particular, that she's not very... No, she doesn't need a lot of things. She's pretty self-reliant, and that's what I kind of see here, someone who's self-reliant. But when they do cry, they do want that support and to be held. But they don't cry about every little thing. So when they do cry, it's very important to them, and it means something. And that's what I'm kind of reading into this poem. And, of course, you know, there's so much more meat in that in the next few lines, but I will touch on one more thing that you touched on, because I kind of took it differently. You hate me because I see you. There is that animosity of people that do, when you see somebody for their truth, that they tend to not like that mirror. But I didn't really take it that way. I took it in the way that of someone who's trying to bury themselves so deeply that when you do see them, it scares them, and it makes a person push someone away. Not because they really hate them, but because they're so I guess, not okay with what's inside of them, when they're maybe not being in a good place. So it comes off as anger, because a lot of times pain and hurt does come off as anger. So I kind of took it in that perspective rather than true kind of veneration. I kind of took it in that pain, where that complicated pain that leads to anger. And then, of course, there's a beautiful ending where, you know, the speaker kind of says, well, I'm going to be patient and I'm going to wait for you to get through that and find yourself, and I'll be here when you do. And I think it is so beautifully done. Really, really well done. Thanks, comment.
Amazing comment. And before I get another, I think that this 1111111 could possibly be raconteur. So let's find out.
That's me.
Hey, Rick.
Hey,
Doug.
Hey, I'm
here. Hey, Rick.
You know the show's private?
Well, yeah, but only because getting a little pretty on a couple of them, and I don't want kids to see them. And
you don't
then
have
I'll
to go
just,
into anything. As long as you know.
I'll just open it up later. But, yeah. So did you get to hear Sky read for Pretty Bird, or I don't know how long you were here?
No, I didn't, but I think I know the poem based on what she said, but I have to see, so I can't really comment right now. I'm sure it was amazing because I'm a fanboy. So
That I do know. That's why I wanted to make sure I didn't not check, just in case. let me see. How about you, Frank? Would you like to comment on Pretty Bird's poem?
No, by all means. I think the poem, it has a contrast to itself. What I enjoy about the poem is that it has very intense emotions here. You know, it has that contrast from being something good, or taken from something bad to being to making it something good, or looking at someone, not only seeing their faults, but also seeing their traits. You know, it's not an easy thing that we can, you know, it's easy to criticize, you know, your mate, your friends, etc. But it's harder to really realize and appreciate, you know, the traits they have over their faults. I think what I appreciate about this poem is that there's a deep introspective feeling going on in this poem here. I would say the lines, the ones that really were very powerful for me were the ones that the last two stanzas there. You hate me because I see you. Then you say, but I love you in lifetimes unlived. You know, in that sense of being patient, you know. It just really is a very powerful piece. It's a very intense piece. And I could see the longing in this piece here. I could see so many, an array of emotions just intense, very, just bursting up. It's a very sort of poem.
Fabulous comments. And let me get one more from David. Are you muted?
Rick? Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I didn't hear you say anything. So
yeah,
you know, sometimes. Sometimes these words come out of us. They're an upwelling of how we've been treated by some other people, and you don't really want to snap back at the person. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt, you know. But still, you know, you don't like being walked all over either. And I kind of got a whole bunch of different messages from this poem. trouble comes when I don't cry at all. Maybe my mascara will run. Maybe I refuse to break into the weakness I fear. You know, she's asking herself that question right there, you know. My truth cracks porcelain smiles that hold the world on the broad shoulder, half-okay believability. That's really true nowadays. You know, we don't get 100% of the truth. We only get a watered-down version of it a lot of the times, and that comes through in relationships just as well. You know, and then this one of my favorites in this is, you hate me because I see you. If people think that you really understand them or you're seeing them without their shields up, that bumps them out of their comfort zone. And I think that's a really slick way of summing it up, the way she wrote this. But I love you, and you hate me because I see you. You hate yourself in shame that no one charges you with. You know, the person that's uncomfortable knows that they shouldn't be behaving the way they are, and because nobody called them on it, that makes them feel guilty. And I don't know. I just really, really like this poem. I've been down this road so many times, especially lately, and Pretty Bird has a really, really fabulous way of expressing herself, and I thought this was really well done.
Oh, great comments, everyone. Thank you so much. Now, if you will click on Titus's poem, I have a SoundCloud, and then after Titus's poem, the lineup is Boston and Sky, and we'll keep them coming. So please, I'll switch phones. I'm going to switch phones too. So I'm going to push play, and we will listen to Titus's amazing voice reading his poem. And as soon as I find TTT, I got so many recording. Here we go. Okay. Let me turn it up just a little. And here we go.
Director's cut, Romeo and Juliet. I quote, "Oh, that I were a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek." Sliding off my chair almost onto the floor, roses which you see are red unlike others, Earl Grey or chamomile. A fragrant odour, leaves I must get used to, stirring lovers. A spoon, for instance, now, rotating one way, do chaperone the next, follow on from there. Used Christmas cards in the box that I do lay, glittering as bright a love the first time, eh? Such small mercies, the shell from Verona, now Mantua, one immerses deep within the twilight zone. Facing the wall alone, the eyes will enact. The love scene begin. Star-crossed lovers, Juliet now, let us hoist. Elevator morning, deep breaths, surprise, the first kiss. Must reveal less flesh, moist lips to water, not wine. Look into our eyes.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
I wanted more. Yeah. I'm like, is that Quentin's song? I'm like, okay, it sounds familiar, but oh my gosh, that was beautiful.
Right? And then
sliding off my chair almost onto the floor. That was me.
since he's been making the recordings, it's been blowing us all away.
Oh my God.
And it's always 10,000 times.
It was a slow
seduction.
I know.
I love how it's I like how it's Romeo and Juliet director's cut. As a matter of fact, I had a contest going, and the silver it blew me away. Yeah. What I wrote was such an incredible entry to take the word bank, and remember, this was a word bank. He's one of the most brilliant. There's like five people on this site who, if they are in a word bank contest, I won't even try. One of those people is definitely Tony. It's a romantic brevity, but he spun it so well that, you know, who would believe that it was something that he threaded together from a word bank and the photo by his author's notes, because those were the two prompts. And
that's crazy.
The word and the feel. And I know that for, you know, a fact that that is him and his angel in that photo. And that the youthful joy exudes from the photo, for one. But his romantic pen oozes. His joy for her is there. His brilliance in the score banks is here. It's a total package. And then, like I said, getting to listen to him read it on top of it, absolutely excellent. Thank you, Tony. A gorgeous chair. And a real always to get to hear you read. Austin, is this the first time you got to hear Titus?
I'm sorry. You're breaking up. But am I breaking up when I speak?
No, I hear you fine. And I switched phones. Yeah. I thought it might be better.
I keep calling back, and I'm dancing around the kitchen. It's not helping.
Both coming in clear on me.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
well,
you're
the Boy
clear
Scout
to us.
Phone system.
Yeah. Yeah, you sound fine.
I only have a cell phone.
You want to go ahead and comment, Tony?
What's the trendy accent?
Yeah, the string's too loose. That's it.
Yeah, pull the string tighter.
Okay,
yeah, somebody stepped on the string down there.
Boston, do
what
you want to
string?
Comment for Titus?
Okay, well, can you hear me when I speak, though?
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you just fine out here in Oregon.
I can't hear the response.
Yes. I can hear you just fine if you want to go ahead and comment for Titus. You there?
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and comment for Titus.
Can you hear any of
I have to
Boston?
Call back, Deb. I can't hear anything.
Okay.
I can hear all of you.
Yeah. No, it's a shame. She's been having trouble with the phone all night.
I've been
back.
Having the same issues lately as well.
You know, I'll get that from California up north here too. Sometimes my phone's the same way, so it's just a hit and miss in California, I guess.
In Oregon too.
Yeah.
Frank, did you just say that you have a time issue?
You want me to? Oh no! Well, I can be
no,
on. I know you've got. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm just. Right now, I'm just. Yeah, I'm trying to
I
get
have the
one.
Issues. I have the.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I have the same issues as Boston does. No. You've got phones up already. I saw those. That's not a problem. I can wait for those poems that you have up, the ones that you have before. Now, for the poem, if by chance my phone just disconnects or it's just connection problem, it's not my fault. I just want to know. I thought the poem was a beautiful, beautiful write. It's it's just really imbued with incredible a love, a reverence for his beloved wife. Now, I've heard many soundcloud before and read poems of Titus, you know, about his wife, and each and every time it almost feels you can feel that love is very palpable, very tangible, and this is no exception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a beautiful love story theirs, and it deserves to be a film. But I really did appreciate this poem. I always enjoy Titus. He has a decorum of his own that really is rare that you see on this site here, you know, and he's a poet of, I would say, the days of yore. You don't really see this type of poetry much in this depth, this meaning.
Ditto. Great comment. Thank you so much. Now, before, hold on 1 second, Boston. Let's say hello to Silk Black Rose, everyone. Silk.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Silk.
Hey, Boston.
Hey, how are you?
Everybody
else. Glad you're here. That's Boston is here. In the room, we got Boston, Raconteur, Frank, Sky, David, and Hatter, and myself, and you, of course.
Woo-hoo.
And I'm just about
Hatter.
To get Boston's going to comment on Titus, and then she's going to read her poem for us. Boston, please.
Well, you know, to me, it was like a beautiful love story, but it was all an essential kiss and just the approach. It wasn't anything, it wasn't doing the nasty, you know? And, like, I was thinking my Northeast Coast attitude, I'm like waiting for every syllable because I want to go faster, and he's, like, slowing me down. But, what can I say? But,
if you think he's slow, I am slow as well.
Well, that's how I felt, but it was just, I was like waiting for every syllable to come out. It was just that anticipation, and it was like seductive, and it was like a slow caress with his voice, and it was just beautiful. And then, you know, a word bank at best. So it's like, and then, you know, the song in the background was just, it was all soothing, but it was just, I like slipped on the floor. I was there. So, yeah. Twilight Zone, a little bit like that, but it was just really beautiful. And I don't know. It's just, it was tastefully done, you know, but yet very alluring and very seductive. So that's my take. Well done.
Awesome comment. And
yes.
Here's it's moving a little bit, but it's up there. Do you see it? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And if I cut out, do you still hear me? Even though I don't
hear
you.
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear.
Yeah, you're fine.
I think it's you've been fine. We'll tell you if anything happens, but dazzle up.
Okay, good. Okay, well, this is like the opposite of what we just heard. So I apologize ahead, but then I don't. This is in response to Bukowski, and you know you gotta get to come back hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Buck, you might want to memo this mouthful. Eyes don't always spill the whole enchilada. Remembering how burritos are often eaten with hub-grub hands. Between salty salsa finger licks. And those kitchen knives, they man the county drawers alongside bumbling chopsticks, feeding the dogs, guarding my piano playing pedicure tissues. So you can pretend you're full of piss and vinegar as I wiggle and wrangle your trailing thoughts inside a wet, dripped dye, kicked from my creamy juiced up thighs. Knocking you senseless with my Hugh Hefner breath, dangling like spades. Twin light bulbs within lips inches of your swirling hallelujah lollipop lip. Everyone knows feelings are the door to an old man's rapture, dirty dancing discounts from another man's seedy mattress squeaky floor. Machine gunning dusky hotel corridors at coronary to sweet chiming grunts from grungy gray men coming down hard from a stranger's midnight cannonball ride. Sheets and ladders are merely Tell's playground to shits and giggles, leaving the daggers to circus clowns and their sideshow junkies, freeing the free willy of the breeding swordsmen to swallow their pill-pushing blues as they adjust gallop stirrups, refueled, and barking orders, come on, baby, hit me hard again. Note that Johnny backtracks all candied up and hooded like a horny teenage virgin going for another rock. Like you do a surgical cardiac flipping laurel, whistling blind through a downshifting grind. Hell yeah, he signed the dotted line. End poem.
Hell yeah.
Right? Well, since I got to read it first and I commented and told her how brilliant she was and her powerhouse pen, I'm going to go right to you, Hatter, and get her some fresh comments. So, got it.
Well, you can pretend you're full of piss and vinegar and wangle your tailing thoughts. That at first I wasn't sure where we were going, but
well,
it wasn't.
You read the poem. His Bukowski's poem is about a girl who looks kind and sweet, and she has a knife. You guess, but you're not going to use it, and I won't flinch. But the knife is mine, and I haven't used it yet. And I'm like, yeah, right. Hold on, big guy. So that was my response.
Yeah, that's the another man seating mattress squeaky floor. You borderline the whole, whether it's an action or a feeling or an attitude. That's what I got from Chutes and Ladders with nearly a child's play with the shits and giggles. I miss you, Boston. This is good.
Thanks. Great comment. Rock and Tour, what did you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. Any poem that can involve naughty teenage virgins and not be that explicit is, you know, pretty cool. You know, there's ways to talk about things like that, and I think you walk that line, especially under the guise of Bukowski. You know, you could get away with a little more. I appreciate that. The language is great, and in that context, it definitely evokes that thought of a Bukowski contest. So even if you didn't know that it had to do with him, you know, that would probably come out in someone commenting that has any clue about what he's about. You know, it'd be like, you know, oh, it sounds like, you know. So this is really cool. I enjoyed it.
Thanks. Awesome comment. And Silk, what did you think?
Yeah, I totally dug this. I loved it, especially it was just, I think in the comment I was writing that it was just like spitting fire and sensual heat and sexual like self-empowerment there. And I couldn't help but say I give it 3 thumbs up. And I really dug it. The Hugh Hefner lines, that whole stanza in particular. I mean, who doesn't want a hallelujah all the topic? And from beginning to end, you just totally brought it. And yeah, I don't see why you didn't score in the Bukowski one. I thought you should have got the gold or at least silver in all 3 of those, not just 2 of them. So.
He hasn't judged it yet.
Oh, okay. I'm sensing a couple of gold or silver there.
Yet. Yeah.
Nice hat, Boston.
Thanks. Sorry.
It is a cool hat.
Who doesn't like a fedora?
I know, right? She looks good in it, doesn't she? Frank, will you come out for Boston and read us your poll?
Yes. Well, I have a song called for mine. First of all, I have to say it's been a while, Boston, so I've not heard you. It's good to hear your voice again. The poem is very. I have to say it has. Of course, it's a central piece, but it's a very beautiful write. You know, you bring in metaphors here; they're very striking here, and of course, the prompt is striking as well. But I did appreciate the way you just carried Bukowski feel to this poem here. And it really felt like an adventure. You took me on an odyssey there. So that's always a good thing when you can write sensuality. But I thought the poem overall was just a damn good poem. And it was just great to hear. And great to hear you, as
Thank
I
you.
Said before.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Very awesome comment. And will you read yours for us, please?
Oh, are you asking me to read?
Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I do have your SoundCloud loaded. It's habitual. But here comes the SoundCloud.
Yeah, just one quick thing. There's some clips in there, okay? I just want to warn you there. In the beginning and end.
The terror begin now.
Doctor of the Ghastly Guys. Its name is Michael Myers. A menacing madman hidden behind the mask of horror. Of a silent voice and a heavy slice of lasciferous execution. He lurks in the shadow of the daunting darkness of the night. His gasping breath reaches the edges of the dormant steps belonging to the homes of the local residents of Huttonfield during the time of the spooky spirits of haunting Halloween, as he creeps with the breeze stealthily into the open windows. The innocent children trick-and-treat expecting their goodies as they knock or tap on the front doors of their welcoming neighbors. Unknown to the penetrating peril of the wicked winds of insanity, all children of the local town fear the dreadful tale of the boogeyman. He that is the predacious servant of the disturbing devil in disguise, searching amongst the townsfolk to sate his thirst for dripping blood. But the worst thing is near the eventuality of the real nightmare, for you might be the unfortunate victim of his unyielding wrath. It's Halloween. Everyone's entitled to one good scare. Death has come to your little town, Sheriff. I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left. No reason, no conscience, no understanding. Even the most rudimentary sense of life or death, of good or evil, right or wrong. I watched them for 15 years, sitting in a room, staring at a wall, not seeing the wall, looking past the wall, looking at this night, inhumanly patient, waiting for some secret, silent alarm to trigger him off. As a ghastly guise. Its name is Michael Myers, and if you listen closely, you can hear his breathing. Listen closely, and you will hear him breathe. Closely.
Frank, is it, I was waiting for your maniacal laugh.
Yeah, it's
is
coming.
It there?
It's coming.
Okay.
It's coming.
Okay. I wanted to walk in here. Wicked. Oh, my God. I'm starting to get used to the maniacal laughter, but that creepy, screechy, I don't know if it's not quite a howl, not quite a hiss, a little bit of that, but man, that's wicked and it gives the chills. But I have to say that the having the theme song playing in the background while you were reading was a brilliant touch, too. It's Halloween, everyone, entitled to be to one good scare. Death has come to your little town, Sheriff.
I met him 15 years ago, and that part right there, you don't think about it, but I think Michael Miles has been around for such a long time. Went back further. The innocent children trick and treat, expecting their goodies. As they knock or tap on the front doors of their welcoming neighbors, unknown to the penetrating peril. For some reason, I love that expression, penetrating peril, of the wicked whims of insanity. All children of the local town fear the dreaded tale of the boogeyman. Really cool. Awesome read. Very theatrical.
Those lines you read were actually the lines that were said by, on the film, it's Loomis, I believe. The doctor there, he's the one who actually quotes. Those are direct quotes from him.
Ah, cool.
And that scene was at the end. Was the end of the film there? The scene that you threw in at the clip.
Ah, cool. Rock and Timber, you want to comment?
No. You always do a good job with the reads, Frank. The only thing I would say is that pause at the end until that laugh. I don't think you should have waited quite that long, but you give us enough time to say, is he done, or start to comment and then kick in with the laugh. That would have been better, I think, because everyone's wondering if you're done, and then all of a sudden you get hit with it. But that's just me and my warped mind. But this is a poem about a warped mind, so I guess that validates me. I don't know. Anyway, I like it though. And incorporating the quotes from the show is great too. My problem with Michael Myers has always been, didn't he die? So how does he keep getting older? But other than that, it's a horror show. I allow for all those stupid things. It's a cool idea. It's a great expansion on the movie itself. It's a great tribute to it. For lack of any other thing to call it. And you definitely do it justice. It's definitely a scary piece.
I appreciate that. And that ending there was because of the clip itself. I was waiting for the music to gear up, to go up again. Unfortunately, the music, with the clip. So that was the reason why I waited in the laugh. Because I was waiting for the music to come back.
Cool deal.
Awesome. And Hatter, thank you, Rick. Hatter, will you comment for Frank?
Well, I've been commenting for the last 20 minutes, but I was a bit on mute, and nobody told me they couldn't hear me. Frank's right. Yeah, Frank's got the voice. It was almost like have a glass of water. I had an uncle that talked like that at certain times where it was like it would drive you nuts. Just the voice would get to you. I mean, take a drink of water, please. Please take a drink of water. But no, anything Frank puts down is good, man. Did you get your Halloween out for this year?
Oh, Frank? I did. Yeah, I have to say I did. I did the run of a couple of shows that night.
And now you get all cheery for the rest of the holidays, man.
I had to be the boogeyman there. I had to be the boogeyman for that night.
Ah, were you? Where's the video?
Oh, it's on audio.
Really?
On audio.
Well, cool anyway. Boston, will you comment for some?
Yeah, I never watched them. But I think I watched the dip with my daughter one of the movies, and I'm like, okay, she's not dead at the end.
Nope.
I'm like, what the heck? She come out of the water. I'm like, oh god. I was like dying, and I have a new granddaughter, so I was screaming, and then she laughed, but I was yelling. I'm not big on. The voice was great, and I have to agree with you what you were talking about, Rack, about the ending. Like, I'm like, I'm looking around the room thinking, now what do we do? I was waiting for something to happen. I guess it did a little bit later. But it was a great night, and it is scary. And the kids are, you know, it's like this, when you think about it, you know, anybody who's going to be attacked, they just don't know what's coming. It sucks. But, I'm thinking about the movie I saw and how they knocked on the door and then a guy gets shot at the door and then the axe and all the other stuff that was in that movie. It was kind of damn scary. So you scared me, I guess I could say, here. And the voice is great and the reading is great.
No, I'm not as scary as it is.
Well, no, but see, you don't know my brain, so I take it somewhere else, I guess. But, honestly, you know, I'm the person that yells before anything happens. It's near you,
okay.
So anyway.
We're more afraid of you, Frank.
I appreciate that. There we go.
Right.
Thank you very much.
I
just want to say, Deb, oh, I appreciate that. And it's good to hear you again, Boston, as I said before. I just want to say, Deb, I'm gonna have to run, but I want to say that the show is a great show. I'll listen afterwards on the radio. You always do a great job here, and all of you as well are always great to have on there. Great entertainers, all of you. Take care, my friends.
You too, Frank. Thank you so much.
See you, Frank.
Good night. And before I get the next reader, I just wanted to say, Boston, I was so excited when I heard from you the other day and then realizing that you were going to call, and I realized that, you know, everybody was going to be thrilled to hear you and Hatter was going to be excited that you were back, and I forgot to say congratulations on your little granddaughter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. She's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I bet.
She's a grandma?
Right?
I am. Can I put
What's
a picture
name?
Of her? And I'll look for a cute picture. I'll put her in the
Absolutely. Yeah. So I know we had to hang up, but Skye, if you would come after Frank and then read your poem, please.
Oh yeah, I thought this was excellent. I'm a big fan. I love how he kind of takes it from Dr. Loomis's perspective, and that's that bit of quote at the end. And he was a psychiatrist assigned to Michael Myers after he killed his sister when he was about 6 years old. And he goes through trying to help him, but he realizes that he's just a void. There's something very dark and unreachable in him. And I like how Frank kind of took that perspective and took that fiction and kind of made the story, you know, did a bit of flash fiction fandom here and bringing it through his own words and through his own experience watching the film and the franchise and put it in his own language and kind of told like the cliff notes of it, but also took it through the perspective of Dr. Loomis. So I really appreciated that. Really well done.
Awesome comment. And yours was on the board.
All right, so I know it's not Christmas yet, but poetic slice of life, because we're a little crazy sometimes over there, we have all our topics up till this, all for through December. So go check them out, because I know I have. So I'm reading this one a little early. It was for one of the topic boards that's up over there, and it was ice skates. So don't get afraid, because I'm already bringing out ice skates. But this is called Horantis Lake. Horantis Lake. In New England Winters, by Sky Dark Home. In the woods of my youth, travels a North Shore road, a churn of silver boxes with red flag plastic fins, white sticker squares overlaying thick black lines that read number 37. And on this path of dirt, maple leaf, and Christmas pine, were dips that bottomed out the undercarriage of any lower-bodied car. It ran beside a fall that was narrow at the start and widened deeper at road's end. Just after the winding downhill drive, plows never dared to take. There, perched between birchwood and hemlock stalks, a house overlooked that great breadth of water, a thick timber skirt hugging all its sides. In winter, it would freeze, a brilliant coat of ice. I remember sun-snow days, setting from hilltops down to lake's palm, the pulling of twining ropes, yelling faster as my brother made circles and dizzy designs. I recall those evenings when spotlight beams would shine a shadow, when echoed in the silence were scrapes of metal on ice, small voices bargaining between nips of laughter for 5 more minutes. And some.
How cool. I love this. Yeah. Where dips that bottomed out the undercarriage of any lower body car that ran beside a fall that was narrow at the start. The little details that the little historian. Back a minute, though. White sticky squares overlying thick black lines that read number 37. Very, very vivid detail there. I can almost see the number, and I it ran, but yeah, I said that one. Where was it? Oh, I'm trying to, I hate when that happens. Just after winding downhill drive, plows never dared to take, I can picture those roads where there's just so much snow and mm-hmm. it just doesn't go there. Man, so many, what was that? I recall, wasn't there an I recall? Yes, I recall those evenings when spotlight beams would shine a shadow when echoed in the ceiling were scrapes of metal on ice. I like that you not only gave us vivid visuals here, but you brought in some sounds and stuff, and I could almost hear that sound of the scrapes, not just from like a plow, but from people trying to shovel their sidewalks and driveways and whatnot. But mm-hmm. but all the different sights and sounds, I could even almost taste the frost in the air. There was just something very endearing about it from start to finish. And I'm noticing on the right there that it's pending. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're the front page moment. So, like, you
thank
know,
you.
Really cool. I guess people are looking forward to Christmas because they didn't care what holiday it was. It's young doctor. I mean, all the things. There was little bits of nostalgia in each one of them, whether it was just a line or a couplet. It was just an excellent piece. No wonder it was chosen. Fabulous share. Nice. And I could say as many lines as I wanted that time because you're not going to comment on your own mom.
I don't know about that. You took all the good ones.
No, you read it. You read every single line.
Yeah, they're all good, though. The scrapes on ice is actually ice skates. Yeah. My mom used to shine a big spotlight at night so we can ice skate at night. And so I didn't do a lot of – my brother did a lot of ice skating. I got pulled in the sled because, you know.
Well, let me give you some comments here. Even though I was a lime stealer again, Dave Prophet, what you think?
I had some technical difficulties. I missed trying to pull them all together. I'm sorry.
No problem, Dave. I'll get
I
you next time. Please do.
I didn't miss it.
Please come. Please come.
Okay. It helps because I'm New England, right? So I can totally feel all this. And I'm from the North Shore, not Shore, but I'm from not the road. But, you know, I can feel and I can taste, I can smell, I can hear. We didn't skate by night, but we had Eastman Dublin behind us, which was like a reservoir. And my grandmother would hang the would shake the white handkerchief like when he had to come home, but and I could hear the scraping of the shovels on the pavement, and then not that you had it in here, but you know how when it snows and it sounds like cornstarch when you walk on it and the crunch, but you brought up all these feelings and memories. Yeah, it's kind of like it was a good time growing up on the East and having all this stuff. And then it's like just 5 more minutes, right? Like with everything's freezing and all cold, and our noses are running, and now they're frozen with, you know, mocos. But just five more minutes. So it was a great, great piece. And like Deb said, you had all the emotions and how all the senses were alerted. And your brother yelling faster, you know, and making circles and dizzy designs. And, you know, when you're skating back there, like I had hockey skates. We didn't have women's skates because we're on the pond. And, you know, we used to just skate all day long. And, you know, and the guys would have their hockey sticks and pucks and stuff. But, you know, it was just what we did. It was great. And I just enjoyed it. It just brought back all kinds of memories. And, you know, it's
I wonder
like
what that noise sounds like.
It's powerful. What's that?
I wonder what that noise sounds like, shoveling snow.
You don't know?
No,
a lot
I don't
of
know.
Along with it, especially if it's wet and heavy. But you could just hear it scraping, you know?
Yeah.
And
oh,
but see, now they have snow blowers. They make life easier. Everything's nice and tidy. But, you know, I have to go shovel my grandparents' house and then go to my uncle's house and my aunt's house, and it was hard work. But and then the dead end road where the plows don't go. Yeah, there was a lot of those. And you know, and then,
my
and
all
then
snow blowers.
I live in Topsfield, but you know, I go back home. I'm not going back home in a couple of weeks actually. And the roads are still the same. You think they're gonna change, but they don't. But you have those areas where the water just, you know, eats away and erodes it, and it's all the same. It's like the turns, and yeah. I'm there. I love this guy.
Thank you.
Awesome. Great.
Great memories.
Rock and tour. Will you come in first, Scott?
Yeah, this is gorgeous. You know, the first thing I noticed, I guess it's a little different for me in the sense of I used to drive a lot, and now I'm more of a passenger than a driver. So you pick up different details. You've got, you know, the perspective of both in here. You don't have it just as, like, you know, the person that's driving. You manage to, you know, communicate, you know, both sides of that, you know, whether passenger or driver. You got both of those ideas in here, right? So you included, you know, as mentioned, you know, the details of things like that. So I appreciate you to do that. And then all the other, you know, details with the old and sound, you encapsulate all of that. I don't know if you remember the movie. I don't remember the name of the damn movie. The movie. Anyone that saw the movie will know. Topic.
You're starting to break up. Rock, you're starting to break up.
I'm sorry. Where they were talking about the difference. I think Boston had mentioned it just a minute ago about the type of skate, hockey skate, the type, you know, toe pick. I don't remember what movie it was,
yep.
But you know, the yeah. You evoke images of that guy, you know, on the ice. I can't, it's killing me that I can't remember. I'm going to have to go Google it later. But yeah, I really appreciate it. It was very nostalgic. And you could relate to it and all the you did a wonderful job like you always do.
Was that the opening scene of The Omen? The opening scene of The Omen. Does anybody remember that? It's the boys are skating, playing hockey on the ice.
Yeah.
I don't remember the scene, but I remember. But go ahead.
No, I just. Just that's what reminds me of that cracking.
That was the end of the thought.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Great.
I like it.
Great comment. Silk, will you comment for Sky and then read your poem?
Sure thing. For me, I love this because I grew up in Ohio, at least the second half of my childhood, I grew up in Ohio, and I know the snow every winter, and we didn't do ice skating. What we did was sledding because we had the huge park hill down just 4 blocks away, and every time it snowed, man, everybody just go down there sledding, man. It was always fun, and we'd stay out there like all day long, and when my brother and I were real young, we used to love to go out and after they scraped up all the snow and had those big piles of snow, we'd like to dig tunnels through it, which It's pretty dangerous now that I stop and look back at that, but but no, I totally dug this. I thought it was beautiful. It was full of childhood memory and nostalgia, and to me, I love the interplay with when you're down here where you said, oh, I remember some snow days, sledding from hilltop down to Lake's Palm, the pool, twining ropes, yelling faster as my brother made circles and dizzy designs. And yeah, I have a lot of good memories of my brother and how we went going out there. And we used to go sledding at night until one time I hit this huge ramp and I cracked a few of my ribs because I didn't see the ramp and just went flying way up in the air and came down, boom. And didn't do that one again. But no, I thought it was great. It's fantastic, right?
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Okay, and let's see if I found my poem here. Oh, there it is. Yeah, this is just one I wrote for a picture contest, a bit of fantasy, and it's kind of loosely based on the Deathgate cycle by Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman, at least on a race that she had in there, the Patrons. They grew up in, like, I'll just give just a tiny bit of backstory so people know. They grew up in this this huge, like, world that was a big labyrinth, and it was meant to be a prison to teach them lessons, but because this other, like, magical race trapped them there and meant for them to learn, but it turned into a deadly thing where it was trying to kill them, and they spent generations and generations and generations in this place trying to escape. So here we go. It's called Born of Human.
The Labyrinth.
My pretty little puppet, what shall be the name of the room tattooed upon thy breast? Such a little warrior, bearing the cool caress of my carnivorous claws, with coos that swell in my blood like bubbles of adoration that may burst my veins. Love breaks the heart, little one. Do you feel it breaking for you? I have such beautiful and terrible things to show you. I'll teach you the weaves of gods long forgotten, whose corpses rot upon decaying thrones. Scrawl the magic of our people upon every inch of your flesh in ink as dark as witch's night. Crimson and cerulean, the shine of our sigil shall shine suns. You shall suckle love and hatred with my milk, swaddled within the warmth of my anger and passion, within the heat of love so rare and sacred in this labyrinth of death, seeming a chink in our armor, though unbeknownst, our greatest strength. And I would wither in the sea of a thousand snuff galaxies to see you blossom within the light of one true dawn. Boom, boom.
Awesome.
Chink.
I liked it. Love breaks the heart, little one. Do you feel it breaking for you? I have such beautiful and terrible things to show you. I'll teach you the weeds of God long forgotten, whose corpses rot upon decaying thrones, scrawl the magic of our people upon every inch of your flesh in ink as dark as witch's night. I like the details in this one. It's dark and it brings life to that picture. And there's something, my pretty little puppet. You don't hear that little puppet too often. So that was a nice touch. I got to try to say some crimson cerulean to shine on our sight.
I always love that name, puppet. So I tried to use it now and then.
Yeah, it's cute. It's underused, I think, like old, like maybe an old school term or something. Within the heat of love, so rare and sacred is the labyrinth of death, seeming a chink in the armor, though unbeknownst, our greatest strength. I really like this, and there's like a, I don't know if history is the word, heritage, a credence that you give to the photo that you pull through with your words. I thought you did a great job. I enjoyed it very much. You gave some comments.
Well, thank you, Deb.
My pleasure. And it looks like David had to go. So let's see. How about I get a comment from Miss Boston? It's been a while since you heard Silk Reed, I think.
Yeah, it is. I'm going back over it again, but yeah. Well, when you first read it, your very ending was like it hit me hard, and I would wither in the sea of a thousand snuff galaxies and see you blossom within the light of one true dawn. The one true dawn. It just kind of hit me, but then I went back over it, and you're kind of nasty here. You're talking all about your hate and love of milk and stuff, and you're like, you look out, girl, here it comes. Within the warmth of my anger and passion, and then you get all sweet on her.
Yeah, like I said, it is. No, it was like the, like I said, I guess maybe you'd have to read part of the series to get it completely, but this whole race, like their whole point in life is they use hatred to survive and for their enemies that trap them in this place, and they only love each other, and they hate everyone else. So.
All right. It was a great write. I mean, I totally enjoyed it, but I'm sitting here trying to go back over, and then, because at the end, you just pulled me in, and then I go, well, wait a minute. How come we got hate here in this? But, you know, I get it now. It was a great write.
I was going to give him the business saying the chink in the armor. I didn't think it was chink in the armor.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think so.
Was it?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Keep commenting, Heather.
Yeah,
this
it means like a hole
out.
In the armor. Like a hole in the armor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I just didn't know the word was chink. I thought you went rogue on us.
Yeah.
He's a god-born forgotten. Like, damn.
So ignore my comment, K-Man.
What's that, Heather?
Oh, boy. Rockin' Tour, will you comment, please?
how do I follow chinks in the armor? This is cool. You know, I like your character, right? Like, you know, I'm trying to remember there was another movie that was, I won't say famous, but it was about a maze that they had, and the whole thing was about them working their way through the maze, and that was like the central theme of the movie.
Maze Runners.
Lambert.
It's the Maze Runner series, and it's a brilliant series. Read it all. Read the sequel.
Thank you.
It's
a little like the Maze Runner. Yeah, it's a little like the Maze Runner in the book, but it's a lot more deadly in the thing.
Yeah,
like the whole point of this place is you're trying to kill them 24/7.
I was just saying it reminded me of that movie because of, you know, the central theme of it was a maze. But, you know, like you said, this definitely had a voice of its own. And what Boston was saying, too, about the duality of the love and the hate, you know, you really got to sort through the poem to figure out who you're loving on and who you're hating on in the right, because it's, I won't say confusing, but it's a little muddled, maybe. But you know, in the end, you know, it's definitely, you definitely have to carry those emotions through. But, you know, more than anything, like you said, the whole point of it was the deadliness of it, so that came through as well. Mm-hmm. So I
Yeah, it's like I'm bad at writing poems that no one but me will get, or no one but someone who's read the book will get, I guess, sometimes.
I'm always like that. Don't worry about it. Yeah, my life.
Put a lot of God call on me.
Say no.
Put
a lot of God.
Sky.
Oh, okay. I never interrupt. I'm sorry, but I'm dying.
Go ahead.
Rack, I love you, Rack, but I didn't get the Maze Runner vibe because the storylines. Now, I know, so have you ever read Gideon the Ninth or anything like that, necromancy type book? I don't know if you've heard of it.
I don't think I've read that. You'd have to send me the title. I've read quite a few fantasy series and stuff in the past.
Well, I don't know this that you're writing on, but I don't know the fiction that you're writing on this from, but I love it because, first of all, Deb did say it already, but I'm going to say it again, the poppet idea, the idea of weaving a doll of magic, but actually putting that into a metaphor as one's own offspring. In the runes, I love the runes. I used to really, really into runes. I still have a necklace, and it's supposed to bring good luck and fortune. I still bring it when I'm doing something really important. So I love how you brought this fantasy world of magic and the idea of villains. And when you think of villains and you think of darker characters and worlds that are based on and the reason why I brought in Gideon the Ninth was because it has a lot of really mystical magic, necromancy, like I said, and there's a darker element to it where you're seeing the perspectives of perhaps darker characters, but how would villains show their love? Well, they would teach their children how to hate, you know, how to truly be that darkness, and not even so much to like to hate, but to love themselves, I guess, and their own kind, but also how they should react to the world. And so I love that perspective. I love the darkness that you brought into it. I love the flash fiction. I still haven't gotten to that series that you told me to read. I actually need it again if you type it out to me. But if this is if this is based on that series you told me to read, I'm quite interested. And I love it. You know, I'll teach you the weaves of the gods, lost, mm-hmm. forgotten, whose corpses rot upon decaying thrones. I mean, these were epic lines, wonderful dark fiction, and I just felt like I wanted to go over the dark side. I mean, sign me up. You know, Lord Vader over there.
Always room on the dark side.
Fantastic comment. I said fantastic comment.
It's hard to keep my mouth shut.
No, it took and I
never
I
have that problem.
Like, me. I know. I was only saving you because I knew you were going to read Angel, and I usually have the last person who's going to read next.
I know.
but anyway, so yeah, Angels is on the board. So you read for her, and then I'll have Silk read for Beard before he jumps in the shower.
Okay. Yes. That's my picture. It was before I started tagging my pictures, so it's for one of my photo contests. So I'm excited. This is Heavenly Heaven collaboration with Easy Writer by Heavenly Angel. Lazy, quiet fall afternoon spent at the lake, doing a little fishing, enjoying the day. He and I sit side by side in perfect harmony, taking in the tranquility of nature's display. Life just doesn't get much better than this. Sharing time with the man of my dreams. Taking life easy, just being together. Smelling flowers and feeling the sunbeams. Such quiet solitude, no words need be spoken. We just sit together, side by side. Mother Nature graces us with her beauty. Shining rays on the water and on hillsides. Yes, this is our favorite spot. For you and I, 'tis a gorgeous place, we both agree. Fragrant wildflowers, birds soaring in the sky, all enhanced by the loveliness of your company. We watch the deer and the rabbits gather there. God's paintbrush doesn't miss a thing. And the lovely scent of jasmine in the air, such wondrous gifts fall afternoon spring. Picturesque and serene each magical scene, yet to all of our charms, nothing can compare. To your charms, nothing can compare. Life doesn't get better. I know what you mean when I have you, babe, by my side, here to share. And hold.
Beautiful. I think that week after week, Angel helps us reaffirm the fact that she's one of our strongest romance writers. I think we say that
a lot
about her. Almost as much as we say it about Raconteur. They both, between his Hurt Locker and his romantic pieces, it's like, oh, and Angel's the same way. She forces you to feel. And in this one, I was sitting there and I was listening to her read for her, and all these tender pieces that she put in there,
that I totally forgot that she had wrote it with Ethan Ryder, and how easily and fluidly their pens flow together. And then I noticed on the side, it's got no less than 6 awards. I mean, it's just one of those pieces that obviously really touches people. And it's got like nearly 500 reads. The details, the way she makes us feel, the way they make us feel with their pen, it is a fine tribute to the poem, to the poets, and to the feelings that they were trying to portray with everything they wrote. I think it came out brilliant. I think that you did a beautiful job reading it, Sky. And how about that? I was concentrating on how well they did and how I felt, and I didn't steal any lines. So steal away, dear heart.
I just always say that because it was like such a little thing, but now everybody makes a comment about it. So we gotta keep it going, Deb.
I have fun with it too.
This is beautiful. It was a beautiful, beautiful piece. And when everybody starts stealing all the lines or certain lines, that means it's good because often there are a few lines and poems that really stand out. And that when 5 people are like, "Oh, this is my favorite line," that is.
Is
the
anybody
line.
Else breaking up?
No.
I hear her fine.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah, I hear everything fine.
I thought this was absolutely beautiful, and this place that I took this picture is such a quaint and beautiful place I often go, and it does have a sense of calm, and I love how she wove it into this beautiful romance, and this idea, the God's paintbrush, I thought was beautiful to give thanks to in her belief, and then also a thankfulness for her significant other, and that idea of love, you know, such solitude, no words need to be spoken. Sometimes it's a beautiful thing just to sit there and enjoy the world and enjoy. I'm a big water fan and trees. I just love water and trees. I just be there. And sometimes it's really good just to just stop talking and just to really take in that scenery, especially with someone that you care about. You don't always have to feel space with words. You can fill space with other things. You can fill them with the sounds of nature, the water, the birds, the wind, and just kind of center yourself. And that's how I felt reading this. Really well done.
Fabulous comment. And how about if I get one from...
Nothing left.
What?
I only repeated 2 lines.
I know. I'm kidding.
Oh, my goodness. Austin, will you comment, please?
Did you say Hatter?
She said Boston.
Okay.
Yeah, Boston. I'm breaking up. I'm moving around. So I'm, like, trying to hear
you're
you
good.
Guys.
Sit still, Roger.
I was sitting here, and all of a sudden everything went... I can't hear a dang thing.
That's
you're
right. Let me get a look at that. Okay, how about this? Silk, will
now
you
I can
please
hear you.
Comment on that? Please comment on Heavenly Angel and then read Beard for me.
Yeah, sure. I really enjoyed this. First off, it was a very lovely collab, I thought. And I was agreeing with a lot of things that Sky was saying over here. I really enjoyed down here where she said, was talking about their favorite spot for you and I. This is a gorgeous place, we both agree. Fragrant wildflowers, birds soaring in the sky, all enchanted by the loveliness of your company. We watch the deer and rabbits gather there. God's paintbrush doesn't miss a thing. And the lovely scent of jasmine in the air, such wondrous gifts fall afternoons can bring. In particular, yeah, those two stanzas to me were a really beautiful like scene with two people maybe that were in love just sitting there just enjoying the sight of nature and each other and just taking it all in. And that's what this spoke to me about, maybe peace, tranquility, the love of nature, and it's just beautiful.
Who else has ever written, life just doesn't get better, much better than this?
Barbara Ryman. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Silk, would you please read for Diabolical Beer?
Sure thing. And I think the best movie I ever heard that line was in As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson when he's in the psychiatrist's office and just blurts that out. Well, here we go. Let's get the poem. Okay, this one's Burn by Diabolical Beard. Burn by the traitor of trust, invader of an empty promises, falling, fading to be sacrificed, on the edge of a world clutching for a return to feel alive, breathe, hibernating, hidden deep inside my eyes, feeling the pulse of a frozen entity. Is there something left of me? Feels like I've been isolated from myself for so long. Add me to the furniture that was abandoned, thousand cicadas in a whispering citadel where I slumber. You know me so well. Boom, boom.
Thank you.
That was actually sad and lovely at the same time, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Invader of empty promises, falling, fading to be sacrificed on the edge of world, clutching for a return to feel alive, to breathe. And I will stop stealing lines because it's a brevity, but that part there really gets falling, fading to be a sacrifice on the edge of a world, clutching for a return to feel alive. Just the thought of, you know, like, hanging in there by the edge of your fingernails, just fighting for the next breath, just fighting to feel something, and it's so sad, but the wording is absolutely brilliant.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I got a question. When you run across it in a read like this, when you're going across words in parentheses, how should you handle that? Do you read it, or you softly read it? Do you pause?
I would read it. I don't know. Well, the first one,
just
the breathe,
like
it feels like you can breathe. But then inside,
yeah.
And then my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I wouldn't.
I would just
sort of pause for a return to feel alive. Breathe. Like it's just a separate breathe. To me, it's like dot in the I or crossing the T. Breathe.
Yeah.
But it's really powerful there, yeah. Amazing. Silk, it was awesome read. Did you want to comment for him?
Sure, then I'm going to have to run off. I really enjoyed, like I said before, it was kind of lovely and sad at the same time. Like his wording, the way he wrote it was very lovely, but it had a lot of heartbreaking sadness in it too, I thought. It kind of spoke to me of maybe a broken trust or like waiting for someone who's just never showed up, kind of, to me. And especially in that one line where I accidentally clicked off his poem, and I'm trying to find it now, where he says, feels like I've been isolated from myself for so long, add me to the furniture that was abandoned. And to me, that really speaks like I've been just sitting here so long waiting that I might as well just be part of the furniture. And that was a really sad comment right there. I just really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you for reading it. Don't miss
you. Yeah, I'm going to go.
I didn't hear it. It was all broken up.
Call
more often.
Yeah,
good
night, everyone. Hope everyone has a lovely evening.
Good night.
Good to hear you too, Boston.
Thank
okay.
you.
Good night, everybody.
Silk, take care.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.
Nice kidding. Okay, and Raconteur, will you comment for Beard, and then I'll push your clip?
Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. There's a lot of sadness in this, I thought, as well. The line that really spoke to me in the end was when he brought in the cicadas, because you know, I went for the longest time, you know, I used to see them, you know, on the ground, and the noise is very recognizable, but, you know, I didn't know that they hibernated underground for like 7 years at a time or something like that. So, you know, it's possible, you know, different generations that you could see them, you know, in less than 7 years. But at the same time, the fact that they do that is just kind of amazing to me. And that adds to the loneliness that he's talking about, the feeling of separation and agony, I would say, or angst. You know, it's just again, you know, there's a lot of beauty in the rest of the poem. It's just my mind went straight to that because, again, I'm warped. But I really liked it. The whole thing overall, that contributed to that feeling, kind of underscored it for me. And like you were asking Hatter about the parenthesis, to me it's kind of an aside. If I were to make that notation in something that I wrote, you know, I would still read it, kind of, you know, pause before I read it, like Deb mentioned, you know, that's just one of those things. It's an afterthought, but you know, it's still part of the thing that needs to be articulated.
Mm-hmm.
Great poem, dude.
Yeah.
Awesome comment.
That's bad.
And if you guys click on Raconteur's link, I will push his SoundCloud.
Shot in the Dark by Raconteur. Grudgingly conceding every rotation of the earth, day dissolves into dusk. I pour myself a shot of whiskey, imbibing the last dregs of light from a reticent sky. A solitary note struggles in the darkness, hanging precariously in the air, until it fractures into melancholy harmonies. Vainly portraying my life poetically, crooning prose posing as lyrics played on your heartstrings off-key, scattering my words, desperate for them to take root before dissipating into the shadows, the way puddles briefly collect only to vanish as they permeate the dirt, clinging to what little comfort there is in the haunting melody of shattering dreams, relying solely on remnant shards of hope to bind everything together. I pour myself a shot of whiskey, swallow the last vestiges of aspiration from the ebbing night, as dusk gives way to dawn, and the earth completes another rotation. End poem.
Wow. A solitary note struggles in the darkness, hanging precariously in the air until it fractures into melancholy harmonies. Man, oh, down from other scattering my words, desperate for them to take root before dissipating into the shadows, the way puddles briefly collect, only to vanish as they permeate the dirt. And then, of course, that closing stanza is like, you know, just pour another one to the aspirations and sit here and go through another earth rotation, and it was just like, oh, I didn't even have to go look to see whether or not this was part of your heart, because it's got to be, because I have that feeling in my gut, and then I roll up and I realize it is. Boston, if you need some power,
I didn't get to hear it. It was like terrible. I was struggling.
So well, I
totally enjoyed the first stanza, and as he was, and then it just went down. I don't know why it keeps cutting out on me.
No, it's really a shame. But if you get a chance, if you can hear me, click on his Hurt Locker and check out some of them. Almost everything would have a button, just push play, and you can listen to him read.
And some of these ones in his Hurt Locker will rip your heart out. He's a pro at heart ripping. Hatter, can you comment for Rec? Amazing piece, Rec.
Yeah, I love the narration, and he did a full circle. He starts his first line with the rotation of the earth, grudgingly conceding every rotation of the earth, and he ends with it. That's a neat little, not a trick, but a neat little style to go for full circle or to end the poem with the same line that you started with. It's also a good way of doing it. But he did good.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the regretting that full circle. I mean, how many years? Damn.
All right.
Thanks,
Hatter.
So. Yeah. I wish that Boston wasn't having so many problems with the phone tonight, though. It's a bummer. Mm-hmm. Scott,
you know, I can hear her. I don't know.
I know
it is.
We can hear her.
Probably because
I'm saying that she's having a hard time.
Because I'm in California too.
Yeah. No. I mean, we can all hear her. It's just her having the hard time. That's
yeah.
A bummer.
Oh, okay.
But Sky, will you please comment for Raconteur and then read for Joe?
Yeah. So I'm going to make a really big assumption here. I hope I'm not wrong. The title, right from the title, Shot in the Dark, the idea of maybe perhaps physically, because the picture does show darkness and taking a shot of a drink, taking a shot to maybe ease that pain, but also a double meaning of shot in the dark because of the perspective the poem is written. And I do know you love a play on words, so I'm going to assume that it had a double meaning a shot in the dark, a chance that will never be because of certain circumstances. And I might have gotten
times.
It that time. I might have gotten that play on words. I know you love to do it, so now I'm looking for it. and I think that's quite brilliant, how you're able to just, even in a title, put that much thought and depth into it. And I know, I'm pretty sure I'm right, so I know that you did take that time and that thought. You just ripped my heart out with these, like, you really, really ripped my heart out. It's the snowman poem all over again, you know? the solitary, love that damn snowman poem. But is it the solitary note struggles in the darkness hanging precariously in the air until the fractured and melancholy harmonies? Oh, that isn't the one I wanted. That is a beautiful stanza, but this is the one I wanted. The vainly portraying my life poetically, crooning prose, posing as lyrics played on your heartstrings off key. This stanza here, I think, is the core of the piece because, to me, it speaks of someone. And as poets, I think we can all relate to the fact that we pour ourselves and a piece of our soul and everything we have into our writing. And oftentimes, when we purge ourselves of emotion and feelings, whether it be pain or love, and here, this is a sense of longing, of, you know, giving your words, which to a poet is something very meaningful. So when you say portraying my life poetically, kind of putting yourself and putting your life into all these words and then giving it to somebody else and hoping that you'll be able to play some kind of music together, that it will be a medley, but then realizing that it's off key and it's not going to work. It's a beautiful metaphor, and it breaks my heart, and which you do well in the Hurt Locker. Really, really well done.
Did you write this to one of the songs, like the Bon Jovi?
Nope.
Or
no.
More than no. Okay, because there's an Ozzy Osbourne too, Shot in the Dark. Very good.
I didn't even realize, but yeah, Bon Jovi does have that song, Shot in the Dark. You are too late. You give love a bad name. No, yeah, I was totally playing on exactly what she said. The shot being a chance, but the shot also being a drink, and you know, pouring yourself, your emotions, she caught on that too.
I can't hear.
Yeah, and Ozzy Osbourne's got one too. Ozzy Osbourne's got a good one.
It's shot through. Yeah, but it's shot through the heart, not shot in the dark. It's shot through.
Oh, that's it. Right.
Shot in the heart. It's shot through the heart. Shot through the heart,
right,
and
right.
You're to blame.
That's right.
It's different.
Right.
It's a different kind of concept, but yeah.
So it's just Ozzy that has shot in the dark.
Yeah, no.
My bad.
He says shot through the heart.
No, that's the Bon Jovi. That's Bon Jovi.
Yeah, it's different.
Ozzy Osbourne has a shot in the dark. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Close. But I was right about the double play on the title. That's
you
awesome.
Were. You were. Thank you later. I was wrong again.
No, you weren't wrong.
It
you see
happened.
It there.
Yeah.
Shot through the heart.
Sky, would you please read Joe's? I would love to. Now that Rack just broke my heart. All right, this is... What is Life, Really? By Inchin. Life, it casts stones on unbalanced rainbow and sun-wept sky as my eye flirts with a devil walking quick in an unheavenly disguise, sit tall upon scatter, rug of dead rosebuds, hip huggers where those fine prickles and thorns hold me close. Slow on the uptake were those ghosts and march of wild winds. I got lost in a time lapse of dreams where quiescent shadows on the rebound of tomorrow begun to dance in a freeze frame of broken looking glass, although I guess it could have been worse. My peach gloss skin, medium rare bearing the scars of forgotten past and earthquake weather. I could be a black-browned orphan, dressed in chocolate-colored rags, plunging deep into the darkness, with my two left hands dripping in heart's ink. As mountain ash falls upon the garnet feathers of dove's spun wings, flea-bitten but burnished gold, As high wind lowers my head into rock-pooled stream. Or maybe a white-haired mourner crying like newborn down in squalor dump as angel of death flaunts her blood-red prayer shawl near east of littered shores where ravens, tear ducks, drain out over the shell of a day-old court. End poem. Awesome read, Sky. Wow. Right from the get-go, life, it casts stones on unbalanced rainbow as sun wept. Sky as my eyes flirt with the devil, waking quick in the unheavenly disguise. Stood tall upon scattered rug of dead rosebuds. It's like usually when you think of like a scattered rosebuds or rose petals, you're thinking of something romantic, but this is casting stones and he's in disguise and he stood there on the and flirted with her as she cried. Hip huggers were those spine prickles and thorns holding me close, slow on the uptake, and those ghosts in a march with wild winds. And you think of stuff from the past that might have been sort of haunting, that are like a thorn in her side, just holding her, keeping it trapped in her mind. And I get lost in the time lapse of dreams. I love that. I get lost in the time lapse of dreams because sometimes, you know, you just zone off and you don't even realize it and you look down and you're like, whoa, 20 minutes had went by and you were lost in a thought or a moment.
Was that Joe's?
You got
that
kind of feel from it. Yeah. And I like Joe was away for a little while, and when she came back, there's something different about her poetry. And I've always loved her poetry from the get-go, so it's not that I think that, you know, oh, she's,
sure,
now she's a poet. She's always been an amazing poet. I just think that she's gone in a bunch of directions that she's never done before, and I'm really, really liking all the stuff that she's trying. Keep it coming, Joe. It was an amazing piece. And I like that the title is a question, too. What is life, really?
Yeah.
I think that this is excellent. And, Sky, you read beautifully, so please comment.
Oh, great. I was hoping you were going to call on me. My godson really wants his bed. I am going to have to go after this one. But this is just, you know, I really am a huge fan of Joe's. I've always been, I've been on the site for almost 9 years. I don't know when I found her, but I had a wonderful liking to her writing right off the bat. She's always very vivid. She's always very, very intangible in such emotion that I think some of us, even myself sometimes, are really kind of scared to put out on a page. And when we do ourselves and when we read other people do the same thing, there's a connection. And I, you know, this piece speaks to me. You know, there's a lot of things that I've gone through personally that were struggles, that was a struggle, you know, and a great deal of my older writing kind of brings that perspective in a different way. And this is like that reflective kind of writing where you have gone through these gears and these mechanics, and you're able to look back and try to find pieces of yourself, and you kind of look at yourself in a different way. And whether this is a fictional write or whether it's an honest write, it doesn't really matter, because to me, even pieces that might be a fictional are real in some way, could be very and felt in a very tangible way, where you're making the reader feel something that is so deeply rooted in the core of us, trying to, I mean, we think we all are trying to find ourselves, and we are haunted by something. You know, I got lost in a time lapse. I know that you said that. I really love that as well. And the idea of peach lost skin, medium rare, bearing the scars of forgotten past. There's quite a lot of background noise. But the idea, and then in earthquake weather, those storms that we have to go through that do make us feel orphaned and make us feel like we're dressed in rags. But I love how she also reflects on other things, like where she says here, you know, the white-haired mourner crying like a newborn down in squalor dumps. There's that feeling of abandonment again. So I really enjoy this kind of writing, and I enjoy this kind of depth in trying to, I guess I would say, reflect on one's past and kind of bring it through their writing while trying to find themselves. Really well done. I know that was a really long comment. I apologize.
No, that's okay.
I do have to go, and thank you for having me. I got to get these kids squared away. It's way past my bedtime.
Well, thank you for staying so long. I appreciate it very, very much. And I will see you tomorrow. You want to push that first?
Back to the Future, triple feature. You can write to any of the themes, characters, quotes. You can go anywhere you like, even if off topic. You could also, which I think poetic, like Stephen and I are coining a new phrase, you can bring me an IMDb poem, or you can take it into your own personal perspective, which if I get a chance to write tomorrow, I will be doing. So one of the things that happens is he goes back in the past and he sees his parents meet. What if you could do that? Have you been told a story by your parents, by your grandparents, of their meeting? Do you want to rewrite it for me and tell me about it? You can also bring it into a personal perspective. So you don't have to just stay with the film. You could take themes from the film and make it your own. So 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. No, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Yeah,
I'll see you over there, and thank you again. Love and respect.
Thank you.
Bye, bye,
okay, we're going to do the last two recordings, and I'm going to move all the others over for tomorrow. My apologies. I had way over 20 poems and a whole bunch of people in the studio. So, Wayne, I left yours because you said you were going to call. You must have got tied up, but hopefully you can call and read for us tomorrow. And Iris, Naomi, Udo, and Shelley, I appreciate the sound clips that you sent, and they will absolutely be on tomorrow's show. I will drop you a private message after this show. I appreciate sending them in. I'm already a half hour over. I'm going to do these two, and I hope it's better next time for Boston. It's so cool. All right, let's get these two. Yeah. Please click on Deanne's poem.
The autumn gypsy arrives. A whisper of new dawns. I wave my fingers through threads of sunlight. It drenches veins of maple leaves in cascading streams of amber. Gypsy's fiery color splashes summer's face and tangles the trees to shed their metamorphosing dress. Chilled soil cradles a quilted palais of bronze and papaya hues. A crispy carpet embellishes this path I walk upon. My smiling voice sings and rides on autumn gypsy's air and dances upon garnet-painted foliage. Chanting sweet embracing symphonies of hello to gypsy's nipping breath, cinnamon trees, and apricot skies.
How gorgeous is that? And he's got such a hypnotic voice.
She does.
There's something, it sort of lulls you in, and it's a soothingness. And I guess comes in handy in her line of work. Can you imagine having a massage, listening to that amazing voice? It would be like, wow, total relaxation. She has a total relaxation just oozes from her voice. I guess that's a good way to put it. And I like the colors and stuff. Right from the get-go, though, on this one, a whisper of new dawns. I wave my fingers through threads of sunlight. That's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous imagery to kick us off all the way through. And then, like I said, the tone and comfort and hypnotic soothingness that comes from her voice really adds the dimension to it. And I can't say it enough, but if you can't call and read for us, send a SoundCloud or something, because it always sounds so much better when it comes from the poet themselves. And then you get to hear beautiful stuff like this poem that Deanne shared tonight. I love the title, too, especially The Autumn Gypsy Arrives. Absolutely stunning piece. And it's a brevity, but it was packed with gorgeous, gorgeous imagery. Enjoyed it very much. Appreciated it very much. And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, let me get this thing. Okay, let me push it. There is something about her voice. It's I don't want to say Tokyo Rose. I can't think of any. She's got. I can't put my finger on it either. It is soothing. She whispered in my ear anytime.
Does have medicinal properties in that voice. Raconteur, what did you think?
It was a beautiful read. You know, like you said, it was a brevity, so there was a lot in it. I enjoyed it very much. It was very soothing. I almost want to say the voice sounded like it was modulated, though it wasn't a regular voice.
Yeah, I love her regular voice. She's just got the most soothing, calm. You can't help but just, like, if you're stressed out, quite a few times she sent me, like, just sounds from the outside, and sometimes just you can just sit and listen to one of her SoundClouds, click on one of her poems, and the soothingness in her tones can take away a bad mood. Just saying. All right, and for the last poem tonight, we have a sound clip from R.S. Morris. So if you guys click on that poem, I will push play.
All right.
You see it?
Yep, got it.
Okay, here we go.
After this last battle, I sit. All the carnage I see from it. Bodies of brothers, blue and gray. What's the point of this, anyway? Last night, sitting and joking, telling stories while pipe smoking. Good times round the fire. War to be over, our common desire. Lenny told us about his son Roy. William is sure proud of his boy. Samuel bragging about his last date. Daniel drew a picture of his wife Kate. Alfred going on about his pa's wealth. Francis crying about his ma's health. Henry taught us a whipping knot. Everett told a joke that he forgot. It doesn't matter, they're all dead. Others just hanging by a thread. This field that was green, now brown. Trees that stood proudly, now down. Generals picking up the pieces, names of the dead, Sarge releases, thinking of their families on the farms, even there now, taking up arms. Buddies here today, gone tomorrow, plans they had, now family sorrow. Push thoughts away for another day. My future, I don't have much say. Christmas will be here soon. Prayer services in the afternoon. Hope God listens to thoughts I send. We'll be begging for this war to end.
Didn't bring up.
Yeah, I forgot to push on mute. He always, I don't know what, he has a talent for matching up the background with the way he wants you to feel, because there's an emotion that music pulls from you, and he's really good at matching them up. And you look at that picture in his SoundCloud. I know this is, you know, is a word which he is extremely knowledgeable on, but the gut-wrenching image in there. Remember, I have an uncle who was in the Vietnam War, and he had this stack of black and white photos, and they had like these scallopy edges, and in all the pictures were different images such as this one, And it's like a tragic, heartbreaking reminder of what some give. And it's just And then you start thinking about stuff like where it said there, Lenny told us about his son, Roy, William Storer, proud of this boy, Samuel bragging about his last date, Daniel drew a picture of his wife, Kate. These just little details that tell us about the people that make us, there's the word I'm looking for, he gets us invested in the circumstance or the person or the particular battle or whatever it is that he's sharing with us on a particular night. But on this one, he was capturing person by person, and he gave us a little bit of background to it. And by the end, we were near Christmas, and prayer services in the afternoon, and that sure hope God's listening to the thoughts I send will be begging for this war to end. And what a way to end the poem. What a way to end the show. This was an excellent piece, as always. And he always puts so much pride into his collection here, his knowledge and his pride show. Thank you so much, RS. And yeah, please, Hatter, go ahead.
No, you can tell. He's it's not only adds a professional touch to it, but you can tell he's passionate about it. He believes what he's writing. He knows what he's doing. Does a good. And in the background, did you recognize the tune? Wasn't that Love Is Blue?
Oh, Green Sleeves.
Oh, is that it?
Yep.
Almost like the words you cannot say. Great show, Deb. Got a lot in.
Yeah, right. Let me get a comment from Rackton, please.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was very nostalgic. I mean, obviously I didn't live through the Civil War, but, you know, the idea of war and the effects that it has and the memories, I think that the difference between the way that we hand down those memories is what's going to change, you know, as time goes on. You know, back then, you know, it was pictures, and he's going back even further and saying, you know, this one drew a picture of their friend, and it's really just word of mouth at this point, you know, what happened back then, and then, you know, handed down, as they say, from generation to generation, if the people even bother to repeat the stories. So, you know, that's something that comes to mind when you hear a poem like this, because, you know, people talk about, like you said, the Vietnam War or whatnot, that's a little more recent. But, you know, even, you know, the wars before then, you know, when they didn't know that there were going to be more wars and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, world wars, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that's just very, very humbling. It really, really shakes you a little bit, or at least it does me, you know. And I always feel guilty because, you know, I wanted to contribute. I wanted to serve, but I never had an opportunity. They wouldn't take me. So, you know, things like that, I very much appreciate, you know, all the soldiers and all that they do. And I cringe when I see how some of them are treated when they come back, and, you know, how it appears that they even get ignored by society in some ways, and spat upon, and just unappreciated in others. And it's something that, you know, I wish I could, you know, somehow get people to address, but, you know, it's one voice among many, and policy and everything else. It really wants you to, makes me want to, you know, do something, but, you know, you feel that you can't. It's a beautiful piece.
In Iraq, unless you were there and you were forced into that situation of being shot at and war, I mean, just getting a draft number, it makes it real. I mean, my brother had a draft number, and I didn't. I was just a year behind him. But that was the cutoff. That's how close we were.
and it makes it real. It's almost a cowardice feeling.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Especially when you hear about people that lie about their age to get into to get drafted, to get to be able to, you know.
Yep. Greater generation.
Well, for sure. All right, so here we are, 2 hours and 40 minutes later, and what a variety of fabulous, amazing poetry tonight. But it always is, you know, always is. So on that note, I'd like to say thanks, Hatter, for always being there. And Rack, thanks for staying all night. And I want to say thank you to David and Boston. Boston's so awesome to hear you. Keep calling, hon. And AP, Nas, thank you so much. And Sky, thanks for reading and staying. And Sharon and all that stuff. And thank you to Frank. And thank you to Silk. And thank you to R.S. Morris and Iris and Naomi and Bud and Jelly and Tony and Pretty Bird. Pretty Bird, feel better. And Deanne.
Yeah.
And Beard. And In Chain. And Heavenly Angel.
Yeah.
And Silk Black Rose. And Wayne Gent. And Laughing Soul. All of you, thank you so much for sending in your poetry.
Thank you very much.
And tomorrow night, we have tomorrow is Hatter, me, and AP Taylor, and we go live at 11 p.m. And on that show, aside from the fact that we will be talking about things that you're thankful for, we will also do the poem by Iris, the poem by Naomi, the song by Budo, the poem by Shelley, and the poem by Wayne. I'm about to send you each a message and to enforce that.
Magic
but
trick,
those will all be covered tomorrow night. I appreciate you all very, very much. And just for the wee bit, you know what? We're at the beginning of the month. Do you have something at LCN you need to push or anything?
No, that's also going to be at the end of the month, and I haven't come up with topics for either one yet, yours or theirs.
Okay. All right, I just wanted to double check, and then I'll see everyone tomorrow at Hatter Day, and then on Sunday, be sure to jump over to our sister group at the Adult Only Room and see what Pretty Sweet Teas has in store for us at 10 p.m. Sunday. And then on Monday at 10 p.m., come and join me for Steampunk Monday. And on that note, I am totally blown away and totally impressed and totally appreciative. It's such an honor to get to spend time with you guys all the time and I'm overwhelmed at how much poetry was put on the board tonight. I had said to Hatter before the show started, I said, there's like 20 plus poems. You think they missed me Monday? It's nice to be missed. So on that note, let's go out with the same song that Applebee's got me hooked on that we started with, Walter Hayes, Fancy Night. Love and respect, everyone.
Thanks.
Hey, my girl is banging, she's solo maintenance. Don't need no champagne, popping entertainment. Take her to Wendy, can't keep her off me. She wanna dip me like them fries in a frosty. But every now and then when I get paid, I gotta fool my baby with enough pay. On a date night, got that bourbon cheesecake with the Oreo shake. Get some whipped cream on the top too. Two straws, one shot, girl, I got you. Bougie like Natty in the styrofoam. Sweet and squeaky.
get in the truck, bed all the way home. Alabama jam and see my Dixieland of life. That's how we do, fancy life. My girl is happy, rolling on a vessel. Don't need no mansion to get romance. She's super fine, double wide, slow dancing. But every now and then when I get paid, I gotta fool my lady with enough pay. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that bourbon street steak with the Oreo shake. Get some whipped cream on the top too. Two straws, one check, girl, I got you. Booty like Natty in the styrofoam. So you tweaking in the truck bed all the way home. Alabama jam and see my Dixieland of life. That's how we do, fancy like my new clean blue jeans without the holes in them. Country kisses on my lips without the scald in them. Yeah, she probably gonna be keeping some Victoria's Secret. Maybe a little Maybelline, but she don't need it. In the kitchen light, radio slows down. Box wine and her updo goes down. Ay, yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that Bourbon Street steak with the Oreo shake. Get some whipped cream on the top too. Two straws, one check, girl, I got you. Booty like Natty in the styrofoam. Sweet, tweaking in the truck bed all the way home. To Alabama jam and see my Dixieland of life. That's how we do, fancy life.
Thanks, everyone. Night, Hatter. Love and respect all.